Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. We're continuing our study on John the Baptist, and we've looked at John chapter 1, the first dozen verses or so, for a few weeks now. I'll read it, but I want to take a look at verse 11, and I've got a number of points that I'd like to make. And I'll give you the outline in just a second. I'm not going to be able to get through it all this week. Probably my first 4 points I'll make, and the remaining 3 the following week. But let's read our text, and this should be very familiar. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But let's skip to verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him," Christ, "might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light, Jesus Christ," in verse 9, "was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." And our text for today, "He came into his own, and his own received him not." But let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word, and always that we would see Jesus Christ in the text, and that we would be urged to follow him with our whole hearts. Please speak to us today in Jesus' name, in that wonderful and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jews, he came to the nation of Israel, and though many, many, many accepted him and followed him and loved him, the religious leaders rejected him. At one point, I believe it's in Luke, that important men came to the scribes and said, "Hey, where's the Christ? Where's the Messiah supposed to be born?" And they said, "Oh, man, everybody knows that. That's in Bethlehem. Now look, we need to get back to work." God came from heaven and was born in Bethlehem. But all the scribes, the people that copied the law, that studied the law, that was their job, to handle the word of God. They weren't interested in the Messiah. Again, our text for today, "He came into his own, and his own received him not." My outline for this verse: salvation belongs to the Jews, and then to all the world. Point 2, the Gentiles were always part of God's plan. God always intended to save the Gentiles, though he chose Israel. Part 3. The new covenant is foretold. Part 4. Gentile believers aren't circumcised in the flesh as the Jews are, but in our hearts. My 5th point, the Jews lost their kingdom as they rejected God's laws and their Messiah. Point number 6. Jesus was crucified by the leaders of Israel, but God meant that for good. And point 7. In the end, God will gather all Israel and restore them to their land, and Jesus will be their king. So let's get to it. Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, is used a number of times in the Old Testament. And we can look at the various names of God, Elohim, Jehovah Shalom, what have you. But he said, as he sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, from now on I'll be known by this name, the God of your fathers, the God of Israel. Israel is near and dear to God's heart. Make no mistake about that. There are those that, in their theology, they discount the Jews. They write them off. And some even teach that the church has replaced Israel and that Israel has no part in the end times. And that's ludicrous. Simply not so. God loves the Jews. God made a covenant with Israel. And in fact, God named himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And as we'll see, and as the Word of God very plainly spells out, that God is not finished with Israel. God will restore them to the premier nation of all the earth. And Jesus, when he returns, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And again, Israel must be a part of our end times theology. If not, our eschatology is simply wrong. But point 2, and I've said this a number of times, the Gentiles, those people that are not Jews, were always part of God's plan of salvation. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. In verse 19 through 22, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You know, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, which could have been Mount Gerizim, I don't remember. And you guys, you Jews, say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, yeah, but they were the wrong fathers. And there's a lot of backstory. You've heard of King David, and then his son Solomon, and then when he died, Rehoboam took the throne. There are 12 tribes of Israel, but 10 of them said, No, we want our own kingdom. We're going to set up our own priests. We're going to set up our own holy place, our own mountain to worship on. And this Samaritan woman, she was saying what she knew and had always been taught, that they ought to worship apart from Jerusalem. But Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes, the day comes, when you won't worship in this mountain, nor even at Jerusalem, if you're going to worship the Father. He said in verse 22, You really don't know what you're worshiping. We Jews, we know what we're worshiping. We've got the scriptures. But he said that salvation is of the Jews. Paul said it this way, that salvation is to the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. Again, this echoes my first point, that Israel is prominent. And God chose Israel out of all the peoples of the world to place His name and to set up His temple. And in the law it said that they ought to worship only in Jerusalem. For salvation is of the Jews, Jesus said. Matthew 15, we've gone over this before just a couple of months ago, verse 21 through 28. It talks about the woman of Canaan. She found Jesus and said, Hey, my daughter is full of the devil. He won't leave her alone, and I don't know the details. Grievously vexed with the devil, it says. But Jesus ignored her, didn't listen to her questions or pleas, just simply ignored her. But she presses on in her quest to have her daughter delivered. But Jesus said, I'm not sent to anybody, nobody, no nation, whatever, no people, except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, his message is consistent, that salvation is of the Jews first. But this Gentile woman, she got her miracle. And again, I've preached this a few months ago, by acknowledging that the Jews were first. Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread or the children of Israel's bread and throw it down to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but those dogs, if you drop a crumb, they're all over it. And that's what he was looking for. He was testing her to see if she really wanted what he was offering. Because you see, salvation is of the Jews. She had to acknowledge who he was and who he was sent to. But she persevered and was rewarded. He acknowledged her great faith, and it says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. It's in the middle of a passage, but in verse 9 it says, to the Jew first, and also the Gentile. And he echoes it again in verse 10, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Salvation is of the Jews. But God's plan, when he revealed himself to Abraham, and he called unto himself a people, the children of Israel, God's plan was that from Israel, salvation would touch the entire world. And that's exactly what happened. Because the king of Israel came, not as king but as servant, and he gave his life for the salvation of the world. We know the story, we've heard it again and again and again, that Jesus hung and bled and died on Mount Calvary on that cruel cross, was put into the tomb, rose up 3 days later, and is alive forevermore. And the disciples, the apostles, were told, Hey, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But the King of Israel died for the sins of the world. This verse was fulfilled at Calvary. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing or foretelling, or stating in advance what would happen, that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith. The Jews lived according to the law, starting with the Ten Commandments and all the Levitical laws, the 613 laws. All this stuff they had to do, and do, and do. They had to worship at the temple. They had to keep the feasts, the feast of Passover, Pentecost, etc. They had to do all of these things. But Abraham was justified not by doing things, but by believing God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We're justified by faith in Christ, by believing in Christ, not doing things, but believing that He did things, namely that He died for our sins. And we're justified through faith. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. My first point was that God named Himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And He chose the Jews. But in Abraham, Paul is saying that all nations can be blessed. All peoples can be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Again, Abraham was saved by faith, not of works, not of doing things, but believing. And today our message is, hey, trust in Christ, believe on Him, and that's the only thing that saves. Works do not save. Doing good things does not save. Church attendance or baptism or whatever, none of these things save. But trusting in Jesus Christ, that's what saves. And Paul said that started way back in Genesis chapter 12 or something like that. Way back in the very beginning of the Bible, justification by faith was preached. But let's move on. Exodus chapter 12, it talks about the Passover. But in verse 48, Moses is giving instructions, hey, this is how you keep the Passover. It says that when a stranger or someone that's not a Jew wants to sojourn or spend time with you and chooses to keep the Passover unto the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Circumcision, without going into detail, I think that everybody understands what circumcision is. It's a mark, it's a sign that you live for God. I understand that today, if you go to a hospital to have your kid, when you take him home, he's been circumcised. and that's been that way for at least a century, I suppose. But for the most part, or historically, the Jews were the ones that were circumcised. And it's a sign that, hey, I'm a Jew. But if a Gentile wants to live for God, wants to eat the Passover meal, which foreshadows Calvary, that when the Lamb of God died for the sins of the world. If you want to keep the Passover, you've got to be circumcised just like the Jews. That's what this verse says. But point three, the new covenant, the New Testament was foretold. In Jeremiah chapter 31, you can start at verse 31 and go to verse 33, I suppose. God says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to that old covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." Oh yeah, and they broke that covenant. "Although I acted like a husband to them, they kept breaking my laws. But verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people." God's law, again, we said it started with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, etc., etc. It starts with that. God wrote with his finger on a tablet of stone, a couple of tablets of stone. But the new covenant, he takes his finger and he writes on our heart. That's a better covenant, Paul said. And because the Gentiles can approach God and be saved through faith, not the keeping of a bunch of laws, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, what have you, and being circumcised as a sign of, hey, look, I'm a Jew. When we accept the Lord, the Spirit comes into our heart, and he changes us on the inside. He clips us in our hearts. He clips us, not physically, but in our hearts. And around the world, millions upon millions, maybe billions of Christians, Gentiles, they believe God, they walk with God, just like Abraham, by faith, and in their hearts, they've been clipped. And in their hearts, from a heart of love and respect and worship, they obey the Bible. The circumcision is in the heart. And that's my point four. That Gentile believers are circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. Looking again at Romans chapter 2, verse 14, "For when the Gentiles which don't have the law do by nature or new nature the things contained in the law, these that don't have the Ten Commandments, they're a law unto themselves. And they show the work of the law written in their hearts, and that they follow God based on conscience. That, hey, Jesus has done something in my life. I know I'm on my way to heaven. It says, hey, don't commit adultery. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that on Saturday night. I'm going to begin to live right. And this testifies that the law is written in their hearts. And we'll pick it up here next time. We'll look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.